that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
But something next to normal would be okay.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Next to Normal, the Pulitzer Prize-winning Broadway musical, is now on stage at Reading's Old City Hall, produced by Axiom Repertory Theater. The central character has mental issues, including bipolar disorder, that she and her family are having to deal with. Today on Weekend Showcase, we talk with cast members from Next to Normal. We also visit the Blue Room Theater in Chico, where they're inviting you to enter a strange dimension of shadow and substance, the Twilight Zone, live. This weekend, you can see a double bill of classic episodes of The Zone. We'll talk with the director. We'll also be talking with the owner of Chico's Vagabond Rose Gallery about her exhibit of work by two master artists from the Chico scene. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading, Cascade Theater presents the tribal rock musical, Hair. It plays tonight at 7 o'clock, and its final two performances are tomorrow at 2 o'clock and 7. Riverfront Playhouse in Reading stages the tense drama about a jury's deliberation, 12 Angry Men. Curtain time is 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, with a Sunday matinee at 2. The Orland Art Center hosts the exhibit The American West, A Way of Life. Tracy Libby displays her Western-themed fine art photographs. Gallery hours, 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Tonight, in Chico's downtown plaza, hear the Eclectics, with an unusual mixture of rock, pop, and country, starting at 7 o'clock. Next Thursday, at Sierra Nevada's Big Room, Red Molly. This trio of women bring three-part harmonies, blending folk, bluegrass, and barn-burning honky-tonk. The show starts at 7:30. At Chico's Red Tavern on the Esplanade near 3rd Avenue, the art show North State Realities and Fantasies, paintings by Dolores Mitchell depicting many Chico area landmarks. Persistence is the title of the exhibit at MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art in Chico, showing works by 60 women artists from the northern part of the Golden State. Museum hours, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., Thursday through Sunday. Theater on the Ridge in Paradise ends its run of the charming comedy Enchanted April, about four English women transformed by their holiday in Italy. The final performances, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30, and Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Today is the birthday of the great acerbic Hollywood director, Billy Wilder. An audience is never wrong, he asserted. An individual member of it may be an imbecile, but 1,000 imbeciles together in the dark, that is critical genius.
Maybe we can't be okay, but maybe we're tough and we'll try anyway. We'll live with what's real, let go of what's past, and maybe I'll see you at last. We tried to give you a normal life, realize now I have no clue what that is.
I don't need a life that's normal. That's way too far away. But something next to normal would be okay. Yes, something next to normal, that's the thing I'd like to try. Close enough to normal to get by. We'll get by. We'll get by.
Let's join our Reading correspondent, Kelly Frost. He's at Old City Hall, where Axiom Repertory Theater is performing the Broadway musical Next to Normal. Next to Normal is a hard-hitting musical about a woman with bipolar disorder and other mental issues, and about how she and her family deal with it.
Tell me your name and then tell me about the character that you're playing.
I'm Chris Dickey and I'm playing Diana Goodman.
Diana Goodman is a very interesting character.
Yes.
I mean, I've only seen the first half so far, but through the whole first half, you get a different kind of idea of who she is from the beginning until the end of the first half.
Yeah, without giving too much away, she's a mom in her mid to late 30s who is bipolar, depressive, and delusional. This whole play is set on how her issues affect those around her. The first part is a lot heavier, but there's a lot of enlightenment in the second act for Natalie's character, the daughter, for Dan, the husband, as well as Diana.
How did you prepare to do this part?
It was a little bit difficult just because mental health is not something people really want to sit down and discuss or research into. For me, I have several friends and my boyfriend work for mental health and was able to talk to them and say, hey, you know, how would this person act in this situation? And then I really just kind of sat down and talked to a lot of my family and friends, having family members who were bipolar, having suffered from mild depression myself. So I just kind of took a lot of issues from my life and from people around me and just took that and the strong, hard-hitting music that helped spiral my character up and just kind of went from there.
Am I hearing you say that you might be having a hard time separating the character from yourself?
When I first started rehearsals, it was very difficult to come home and not be depressed in the evening. And I found I had to do a lot of sitting down, talking it out with my boyfriend at night or having a glass of wine. I ended up wearing a totem to each rehearsal. So it's something I could put on to become Diana and something I could take off in the car to ritually take her off and leave her there until the next rehearsal, which really helped my brain separate the two of us.
Is there something you would like the audience to walk away with after they see this play?
Just know that there are a lot of problems that all of us have, and a lot of people don't want to talk about them. And if you have those problems, just know that it's okay. In the end, there is a light for everybody, and you can breathe, and there's always someone there that you can talk to.
My name is Spencer Scott Deerdorf, and I play Gabe.
Gabe is the son. And we don't want to give away a lot, but tell me about Gabe.
He's kind of the ideal son that every mother wants. Snarky at times and witty, but he's charming and he loves his mother.
I love the song I'm Alive when, again, without giving too much away, but I think that's where I went, oh, I get it now.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the more recognizable songs. This musical won a Pulitzer Prize. It won several Tony Awards. It had a very successful run on Broadway. Many people are very attached to the music and to the story.
How hard is it to play this part?
Gabe, they wrote his music so high up in the stratosphere. It takes a lot of breath control on my part, so I've been running on a treadmill and singing at the same time, trying to build up my lung capacity and my endurance and everything. It's one of the most demanding roles I've ever had to play.
I could tell that because during a lot of the songs when you're jumping around and dancing and I'm going, wow, that's got to take some preparation.
Yeah, very difficult at first, but it's gotten easier as I've been working out more and preparing for the part.
Tell me your name and then your character.
My name is Mark Amaker and I play Dan in Next to Normal. Dan is the husband of Diana. He's the one trying to keep everything together. He's trying to make everything back to the way it used to be.
He wants things to be the way they were, but I'm not sure he really wants to admit what happened.
No, he's pretty much in denial. He tries to ignore everything that caused the problem, and he wants to just deal with the symptoms of it, but not deal with the heart of the problem.
This is an intense play.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you feel about doing that?
I really enjoy the show. I really enjoy challenging parts. This music is a beast, and it's one of the things that drew me to the show.
The music?
Yes, definitely. It's difficult music, but it's great music, and that's definitely a huge draw for me.
My name is Sarah Rowe, and I will be playing Natalie Goodman. Natalie is a teenage girl, quite like myself, just trying to go through her year and trying to deal with everything that's happening in her family as best as she can.
Seems like a complicated relationship between her and her mother.
Natalie, really, her whole life has been pretty ignored by her mother, and that's really caused a lot of issues for her. It's a struggle for her because she feels like a ghost in her own household.
Seems like she has maybe one persona she wants people to think she is, but maybe she's really something else.
She pushes herself so hard to be academically successful and talented, and she's not there. She's a mess. But no one needs to know that.
When she meets her boyfriend, it seems like maybe he kind of holds things together.
Definitely. Henry really roots her, really makes her realize she is noticed. People can care about her.
The musical Next to Normal is at Old City Hall in Reading, and it plays tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2, and its final weekend is next Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 with a final performance Sunday, July 1st at 2. Here's a song from Next to Normal. The main character, Diana, lives a life medicated to keep her bipolar disorder under control. But sometimes she misses her unmedicated bipolar life.
There was a time when I flew higher, was a time the wild girl running free would be me. Now I see her, feel the fire. Now I know she needs me there to share. I'm nowhere. All these blank and tranquil years, seems they've dried up my tears. And while she runs free and fast, seems my wild days are past. But I miss the mountain. Dark, depressing nights. I miss the mountains. I miss the highs and lows. All the climbing, all the falling, all the while the wild wind blows, stinging you with snow and soaking you with rain. The mountains, I miss the pain. Mountains make you crazy. Here it's safe and sound. My mind is somewhere hazy. My feet are on the ground. Everything is balanced here and on an even keel. Everything everything is perfect. Nothing's real. Nothing's real. And I miss the mountains. I miss the lonely climb. Wandering through the wilderness and spending all my time where the air is clear and cuts you like a knife. I miss the mountains. I miss the mountains. I miss my life. I miss my.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
I'm at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. This weekend only, they're doing The Twilight Zone. Two classic episodes of The Twilight Zone, but live on stage. And I have here the director of both those episodes, Tom Bilheimer. In your own words, what is The Twilight Zone?
The Twilight Zone, when I was a kid, it was in reruns, of course, still by that point. It was something that was really edgy, and I never saw anything else like it on TV. I liked the fact that there were always different stories and different characters, but there was always this feel that, hey, this could really kind of happen.
Tom, why don't you talk about what it's like to see Twilight Zone live, to have it not on a TV screen, but actual live actors right in front of you.
It's memorable. Most of our audience have seen the episodes before. A lot of them are diehard Twilight Zone fans. And to get to see that live version of it is nice. Because it's a live version, there's certain things that we can't do because we're not recorded. But there's certain things that we can do that make it a fun-filled kind of night.
Well, the two episodes that you're doing, they're two of the very, very cream of the crop episodes. The first of the two short plays based on those half-hour episodes of The Twilight Zone is Eye of the Beholder. The main character is this woman whose face and head are wrapped in bandages.
Her name's Janet, and for a large number of years, she's been in the hospital trying to go through these operations and treatments to make her appear normal. She needs to be made normal so she doesn't make the other people in the society feel uncomfortable. This is kind of her last chance to become normal like everybody else and live in the normal world. If it doesn't work, she finds out that she's got to go live in this special area that's been put aside for people with her similar deformities.
I understand you're creating a transition between the two episodes that kind of unites them.
Well, yeah, we were faced with the challenge of there's no intermission in this show. It's only a 45-minute long show. So we didn't want to have to take everybody out of the world. So we decided to use the back half of the set for Nightmare on 20,000 Feet and the front half of the set for Eye of the Beholder. During the first episode, the back of the set will be covered by hospital curtains that then will be whisked away in a nice little transition piece coordinated by our wonderful, cool Rod Serling, played by Cal Reese. We wanted to represent Serling this time, how we saw him as kids. We all saw Serling as being a really cool cat. When Cal showed up to play Serling, right away, I saw this flavor in him. He's a really cool Serling. I think the coolest one we've ever seen here.
And you've kind of made him the head of this zone that he whisks the main character from the first episode into. They become wrapped up into this Twilight Zone, and they sort of introduce the next episode, right?
Correct. He kind of whisks her away into the airplane. The next thing you know, they're introducing that Nightmare on 20,000 Feet.
We're talking about Twilight Zone Live at the Blue Room Theater. The second episode is Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. A guy on a plane looks out the window and he sees this ugly gremlin doing things to the plane that might make the plane crash. Except nobody else sees it except him.
He's basically just gotten out of the loony bin. His wife has picked him up to take him home. Now he's on the plane and he starts to see this gremlin outside playing with the engine. Of course, he has to question, is it really there? In our version, there's a little bit of humor in our monster's performance, let's just say.
Tonight, people have two chances to see these two episodes. They play at 7:30, and then they come on again at 10:30. On Sunday, people could see these two episodes of The Twilight Zone at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Having that Sunday matinee gives those people that don't necessarily go out late at night a chance to see the show. And sometimes the families may want to come and you might want to bring some kids. This is a kid-friendly show. They'll love it too.
Well, I want to thank Tom Bilheimer for talking to us about the Twilight Zone performances.
I would also like to thank all those people out there that come and support the theater. There's been a lot of wonderful memories, and I hope that you come and enjoy it and keep supporting all of the shows at the local theaters.
That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
This is Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm so pleased to be chatting with Marilyn Souza of the Vagabond Rose Gallery about two iconic Chico painters she's known for decades, Sal Casa and David Mallory, both of those artists well represented at her gallery now. Marilyn, tell us about your association with Sal Casa. Where did you first encounter his work?
I don't remember exactly how we met, but I did show his work when we still had the gallery in Chico in the 80s. After I moved the gallery in 1990, we became better acquainted and I began to show a great deal more of his work.
Sal is one of those artists who really prefer not to be recorded, so I'm glad you have such an eloquent understanding of his art. I will leave it to you to let listeners know what to expect when they come to Vagabond Rose.
I love Sal's work because it has so much texture and the color combinations are so pleasing. He lives quite simply to paint. He changed over the years. He grew from one wonderful series into another. Now he's become completely an abstract painter. That's another change from, say, the ballet series and the window series that we all loved. I think it's important when you know an artist's work to also know something of the background of the artist. I'm very interested in people's life story anyway, just personally. He's a native of New York, the only child of Italian immigrant parents. In the 30s, skyscrapers were his mountains, granite and stone. This compressed world would later influence his painting. He was fortunate to have a strong cultural base owing to family visits to museums. He attended the Art Students League in New York, where he was introduced to abstract painting, which later dominated his work. Eventually, he moved to Coppet. Besides farming, he continued his art, taught at Chico State, and earned his master's degree. His work is in collections far and wide. He won the prestigious Gold Medal of Honor in 1999, and that is the highest U.S. honor for a watercolorist. He's almost always been in national traveling exhibits. everyone loves to be associated with and own a painting of Sal Casas. He certainly is an iconic Chico artist.
What I love about his work is that he combines a strong sense of geometry with a figurative feeling. At one time, he drew comics.
He was more a cartoonist than anything else. He did use his cartooning when he was in Korea. He was taken into the war effort. Someone realized he did cartoons. From then on, he was working with the newspapers in terms of illustration.
We also have to give Sal a great deal of credit as a teacher. He taught at CSUC. He still teaches at the Chico Art Center. His great gift for students is helping them learn how to draw.
Yes, I encourage anyone who will listen to me to check into Sal Casas's classes, if only just to realize who the man is. People really love his classes, and I had one woman come to me and say, I retired early so that I could take classes from Sal Casas. I didn't want to miss the opportunity.
You have another Chico artist icon, David Mallory. People listening right now can go down to Vagabond Rose and see 20 of his paintings?
At least 20 of his paintings. There are probably 30 or so in all that we will eventually be showing. David has come to me and asked me to manage the collection. He's moving from a rather large house to a condominium and just couldn't house all that he had, and we were very, very interested in continuing to show his work.
David Mallory has a dual talent in both music, a fine violinist and great violin teacher, as well as a painter. How about the types of paintings you are showing at the moment?
Largely landscape. I almost want to say they're all landscape, but there is one absolutely fabulous painted bouquet of white roses. He's a great landscape painter, and to quote another collector, he said he has always enjoyed his work so much because of the amount of time he has taken over many, many years to understand how those color values come together. He's a master at blending color in his landscapes. They're very textural. I love texture in a painting, and his works certainly has that.
Can you give listeners a rundown on your open hours and your location in Chico?
We are at 236 Main Street. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5.
Well, thank you so much.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you miss this show at its regular broadcast time, you can always listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.